Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I'm getting an update from CO2 Law Corp. Now, this is a company that I introduced back at the tail end of March, along with Martin Turin. Now, he is joining me on the call. Martin is the president and CEO of FPX Nickel, also a director of CO2 Law Corp. I also have Cooper Quinn. He was just announced as the CEO of CO2 Law Corp back on July 5th, so earlier this week. Now, as I mentioned, we introduced this company back at the tail end of March, but I really think we're going to reiterate some of the key points for the company and some of the major goals around CO2 Law Corp. Martin, let's get you in first. I know a few people want to know, first and foremost, what is FPX Nickel's involvement in CO2 Law Corp? And then also, how does that tie into the overall goals of the company? You kick us off here, please, Martin.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Corey. So CO2 Law Corp is effectively a spin-out. At this point, it's a subsidiary, a majority owned by FPX Nickel. And CO2 Law is really leveraging off of work that FPX has done over the last several years to understand the ability of certain types of rocks to sequester a carbon dioxide through a natural process. That is something that feeds into FPX's development of our Dakar nickel district in central BC, contributes the potential for producing zero carbon nickel, potentially from Dakar. However, over and above that, based on the research that we've done in this area of carbon sequestration in these types of host rocks, we think there's an opportunity for CO2 Lock to commercialize operations that would be focused first and foremost on sequestration of carbon dioxide, whereby the credits generated by that sequestration would drive revenue for potentially profitable operations. So this best resides, I think, in a separate company. That's why we formed CO2 Lock, and we're super excited to have Cooper on board. I've known Cooper for several years. He's got a great track record in the geosciences, and he's the ideal person to push this new entity forward.
Cooper, let's get you on here because you and I have chatted before, but for all of our new listeners, and quite frankly, it has been a while since I've last had you on the show. Please give us a little background on yourself, especially in the resource sector, please.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks, Corey. And it's good to be back. It has been a little while there. So myself, originally a geologist by trade and training, but ultimately the past, almost decade of my life now, I've been basically in senior management. So, you get into geology to do all these wonderful things outside. And now I spend my time chatting to podcast hosts and in a boardroom. But looking forward to moving this one forward. So ultimately, I've run a couple of different exploration companies through junior exploration companies throughout my time. Most of those have successfully merged with nice exit strategies for investors, and really just a geoscience kind of focused background, but in the gold space, worked in lead, zinc, silver as well, kind of all over the globe. And over the past little while, I've been really been thinking about what we need for the future. Gold is great. We've been looking at different copper opportunities, and then I saw this the spin out from FPX, and I know Martin, so I reached out and kind of said, hey, this looks pretty cool. I'd love to be involved. And he was like, well, we're looking for a CEO. Would that be interesting? And so took it from there. So really looking forward to kind of driving this company strategy forward as a standalone entity from FPX and building these projects, CO2 sequestration projects, as standalone projects. As Martin said, it's a natural process. So I think there's a lot of different ways that various companies are looking at it, kind of incorporating this into their development plans. But really CO2 Lock is going to be focused on this kind of dedicated carbon sequestration, permanent carbon sequestration, and standalone projects.
So Martin even mentioned it. You mentioned it at the tail end there, is that there is the opportunity, first and foremost, at this Dakar Nickel District, which is what FPX holds, but then also opportunities outside of simply that project. What's going to be the general attack strategy so people can understand kind of what the next steps are going to be for the company?
Yeah, so you know, FPX has built a great, great foundation for us to work from. There's about 5 years of data that they've generated through various partnerships with various research groups at UBC and with the BC government and with the federal government in Canada here. So, you know, great foundation of knowledge and a great database of where some of these deposits that we think are really prospective exist globally. So that global scale opportunity is kind of already baked into the company initially here. What we've done is we've already acquired some tenures in BC. Have field crews out in the ground mapping and sampling those as we speak, looking at the rocks as you do with standard exploration. And then we'll be looking at several other kind of commercialization pathways with the company as well, with waters associated with these deposits. And then scaling that up globally across, like I said, you know, we already have this database of deposits from FPX that they've looked at through the years. And we'll be scaling that up across as we take this kind of kernel of knowledge that we've acquired and build it out from BC and beyond.
So Martin, I want to get you back in here just for a quick comment regarding this sequestration of CO2 permanently. You mentioned that this is one of the major goals, to sequester CO2 permanently and at low cost. What does that permanently aspect look like here? Because we hear a lot of these nature-based solutions as simply as planting trees. Now, it's a big world out there of how you can sequester CO2, but how does the permanently aspect play into this?
So in order to really kind of deal with climate change, we need to, there's always going to be a certain amount of carbon emissions that are being generated, no matter how much we move towards solar and wind, et cetera. There are certain, you know, industries that are always going to generate CO2 for decades to come. We need to find a way to sequester that. As you said, some of the solutions that are being looked at, like the nature-based solutions, for example, planting or preserving forests, are helpful. The issue there fundamentally is that a tree does sequester CO2, but at some point, every tree dies. It dies at natural causes. It dies from being, you know, blown over in a windstorm or being burned up in a forest fire. And when it dies, all of that CO2 and more is released back into the atmosphere. So those are, by definition, impermanent solutions to the carbon issue. In the case of the carbon sequestration that CO2 lock is focused on, this is carbon mineralization. This is where rocks of a certain type are reacting with carbon dioxide, and they are combining with the CO2 to form new carbonate minerals. Those carbonate minerals store the CO2 away in a mineral form and effectively on a permanent basis or on a geological time scale. So once that new carbonate mineral has been formed, that CO2 is locked away for, you know, millions of years. So effectively permanently. And that really is going, that's a key value proposition, a value driver for CO2 lock. Carbon credits are not all equal. You know, the carbon credits derived from an impermanent solution like planting a tree are inherently far less valuable than the carbon credits associated with permanent carbon storage in these types of host rocks. And so we believe that the credits that will be generated by CO2 LOX activities will be, you know, quote unquote, premium carbon credits and yield a much higher value per ton than the typical carbon credits associated with other solutions.
So Cooper, how can people invest in this company? What's going to be the strategy or the vision of maybe taking this public, bringing on different shareholders? FPX, because this is a spin out, holds vast majority of the shares or ownership position. But what if other people want to invest in this company?
Yeah, I mean, I think the company's in a good position right now. We've got just shy of $2 million in the bank that's been raised through kind of friends, families, associated people, just through kind of Martin and I's network and Peter Bradshaw's network, who's heavily involved in CO2 Lock and FPX Nickel as well. So we've got a good runway here. And we think, you know, we can really, I think the plan is to build some value by checking off some key milestones in the near future here with the beginning of those $2 million. And then we will be looking to raise additional capital going forward here, you know, diluting FPX's interest down. Like I said, you know, we want to be a standalone entity with our standalone projects, appreciative of FPX's, you know, involvement, obviously, but, you know, having a 75% shareholder that's a public company is something we'd like to move away from as we move forward here. So, you know, we will be going out to a lot of different kind of low carbon focused funds, heavily ESG focused funds and things like that, whose names folks may or may not know if they're really heavily focused in the mining sector. But I think there's a lot of opportunity in this sector right now to raise capital. So right now, the plan is to stay private for the near term here, but we will look for some liquidity and you know, a bit of a strategy as we go forward.
Now, how capital intensive is this going to be for the company? You mentioned you have $2 million, but how long do you think that could last? Are there any big raises that you're going to need to do for any big initiatives for the company? Any insights you can give us here?
Yeah, I mean, that right now we see that $2 million is giving us, you know, probably at least 18 months or so of runway. My goal is to raise some pretty significant money into this company in the next 6 to 12 months and really scale and ramp the projects up quite rapidly. I think there's a lot of reasons to do that, one of which being the really pressing need for carbon sequestration technology like ours and like others to start to address the climate change problem here. So we'll look to scale that up quite quickly and take, you know, the initial two or three projects that we have and, you know, push that research and development program in the near term here. So we'll be looking to raise probably some significant money in the next little bit here, but likely that'll still be through the private market on the private side and then look to a public raise. And I think we really see the value proposition there as, you know, we grow this. On the private side, that'll pay multiples off when we do look to do some kind of public offering.
So then in terms of catalysts, what can you tell us? What are some key catalysts that people watching the stock, potential investors could look for in the company as we move through this year and most likely into next year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark, one of the things I really want to do in the next little bit here is start in the lab and, you know, ultimately just have the first cup or first pound of that carbonate sequestered and available for people to take a look at. I think that's a huge milestone for the company and a huge catalyst. And then we'll look to scale that up to you know, the company's goal is to have pilot scale plants at least two of our projects within the next 3 years or so.
Okay. Guys, I appreciate this general update. I know this is still a relatively new company, or at least new to our audience. So if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll be having Cooper back on the show, as well as Martin, to discuss FPX, as well as CO2 Lock Corp. But I'm happy to get any questions that any of you have addressed early on. So please send those questions to me. And Cooper, please keep me up to date on future news out of CO2 Lock Corp. And Martin, future news out of FPX. So I'll be chatting with both of you soon. Thank you both for your time today.
Thanks so much for having us, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.